This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Hello, hello, and welcome back to Learning the Hard Way with Catherine McKenzie. And today is actually Donut Day, and I assume it's National Donut Day. I doubt we have a New Zealand Donut Day. But if you don't know what Donut Day is, it's pretty self-explanatory. It's a day for donuts, but it means that you have the best donut flavors going out and the best donut deals. And I'm serious. Oh my God, I'm so serious about Donut Day. After this, I'm going to head up all my favorite places and get all their new donut flavors. So apologies if I seem a little bit distracted. I'm not going to lie. Donut Day is taking up a lot of my mental capacity right now. But I forgot to explain what we're doing here before I started talking about Donut Day. So here's where I tell you about the worst mistakes I've ever made in my five jobs before 17. So I seem to be the type to make those once-in-a-lifetime mistakes every single time I get a job. And I thought, what better way to get over it than to tell you all about them and absolutely embarrass myself. So that's what I'm doing here today. And if you're only just joining, I'm not going to lie, you're a little bit late to the party. We've already had like 3 or 4 episodes before this, and you should go watch them so that you're all caught up on my working history. But today I'm going to tell you about a job that I'm actually still at. So we're now up to the present, and I currently have 2 jobs though, so I still have one more place to tell you about after this, but we're nearing the end. So I want you guys to take a moment and, you know, be in the present today, because there's only so many more episodes left to go. Now, last time we spoke about arguably my worst story ever, so I thought that I wouldn't traumatize you again. I'll actually chill out a little bit and tell you something that wasn't as bad. This is probably one of the lesser ones. But at this place, I was working in a restaurant, or I am working in a restaurant, and it's got quite a big bar. It's quite a big restaurant. It's definitely the biggest I've ever worked in. So it's family sort of vibe. It's got quite a big bar. We do like functions there. So we do like 21sts, 18ths, 16ths, you know, the works. We have like companies come in for their like Christmas dinners and all that jazz. So it's definitely a higher scale. So I'm used to working with maximum 3-4 people. So this place is completely different. On the weekends you have, oh my gosh, it kind of depends what type of weekend it is, to be fair, but definitely 5 or 6 like front of house people. So I joined this place on a whim, actually. One of my friends worked there, and I had handed in my CV countless times. They switched owners, so I handed in my CV like for the old owners, for the new owners. I emailed. I really wanted a job there. Right, I actually got myself a trial from just emailing. Like, I went into the reviews. This is actually a good life hack, guys, if you're looking for a job. If you go to the reviews and you go to the 1-star reviews, oftentimes, like, the managers will respond with their email and be like, can you tell me more about this experience or whatever, email this person. So I found the company email. It was just, like, the name of the restaurant at gmail.com. I really could have guessed it, but you know what? I saw it there and I thought, okay, why don't I just email and be like, hey, got any jobs available? Because I saw a bartender role, but I didn't have anything. I didn't see anything else. I don't really know how to bartend. I did apply for the job anyway. Obviously, I applied for the job anyway, but I was looking for something more front of house, and I didn't want to go in there and over-exaggerate my bartending skills and they'd be disappointed in me and then I don't get like a front of house job in the future. So I emailed and I was like, I've got this much experience, here is my CV, like I've been really wanting to work for you guys, I've been looking for jobs like that you're going to put up, and I just have to ask. And they responded like, of course, like come in for a trial at this time. Oh my God, I was hashtag pumped, because I thought that meant I was low-key in. So I went for the trial, I brought my CV, and I don't really remember much of the trial, I'm going to be honest. So it was about like 2 years ago now. But it was quite short because there's a lot to learn. So you go in there and you get told about the menu. I went with someone to take an order and I read over the menu and I did cutlery and stuff. And I reset tables. And I don't think I was bad. I don't think I was bad, but I probably wasn't that great. The person that I was with didn't really prompt me to do that much. She was like, okay, do this, do this, do this. I didn't have that much like thinking for myself time, but I kind of just assumed that was normal, right? So at the end of the trial, he's like, yeah, okay, like I'll put you on the roster for next week. If I forget, email me. I'm like, okay, cool, sweet. That was like on a Monday. The roster comes out on Thursday. So I thought, I wonder whether this is like, I know I'm thinking far too much into this. I was like, I wonder whether this is a test to see whether I'm going to email him and like be really like driven for this job. So I remember I emailed him on Wednesday, so the day before the roster comes out. And I'm like, hey, just want to like remind you that I'm really keen to work this week. He's like, yes, of course. Put out the roster. Like, well, it comes on Thursday. So I guess I know the roster's put out because my friend works there, right? I'm not on the roster. I was like, oh my gosh, no. So then I email him and I'm like, hey, like what about putting me on the roster? And he was like, actually, I've had to think about it and I have enough staff and I don't need you. And I was like, bruh, okay, whatever. Fast forward. I've now fully had a different job in between then. My parents were in the UK. So I was not like living by myself, but I was by myself at home. And I really, really love banoffee pie. Oh my God, I'm obsessed with it. And there's only two places that I know of that serve banoffee pie. And one is this restaurant and one is like Gumdrop's Dessert in town. I actually don't know if I'm supposed to say their name, but they're amazing. You guys have to go to Gumdrop's Dessert and honestly get anything, but specifically banoffee pie. Because I don't even like bananas that much, but oh my God. Oh, I actually can't stop thinking about it now. Oh my God. Anyways, let's get over the banoffee pie thing. So I really, really love banoffee pie and I really felt like banoffee pie and I knew that this place served banoffee pie. So I tended to find myself there quite a lot late night when my friend was working because I was like, I'm going to go get banoffee pie and I can talk to her, whatever. And it wasn't just my friend that worked there. I can think of three or four other people from my school that worked there. So I was chatting left and right and I was sitting at the bar eating banoffee pie late night a lot during the week because my parents weren't there to tell me off. And obviously I got to know the owner because I would walk in and be a customer, and also because they realized that obviously I knew a couple of the girls there. And one time I went with my friend to go get banoffee pie, and when we were checking out she said like as a joke, oh, like Katie wants another job. And I was like, stop, because I actually really loved my job, but I now could drive. Oh my God, success. I could now drive and I didn't want to pay for gas to drive in and out of town, and my car was on 95. I always get confused between the numbers for some reason, but 95 is the more expensive one. My car was on the one that was a little bit more expensive, and I was like, damn it, I wish I had a job closer because I'm getting really busy and I want longer shifts, and there was just like a lot of like practicality things, but I wasn't at the phase where like I was ready to leave yet. Like I still loved working there and I loved all my coworkers. So I was like, stop. And she was like, no, yeah, like she's got experience. She's over 16. Cause that was like their only rule that like for new employees, like you have to be over 16. You have to have experience. And he was like, okay, you know what? Come for a trial and bring in your CV. And I was like, okay, sweet. Came in the next week dreading it. Okay, absolutely dreading it. Because I like wanted the job and I didn't want the job at the same time. But I was like, you know what? I'm going to try have both jobs. As you do when you get offered two great positions. But I went in and he was like, I had my CV and I had it in my bag and I was like, was doing the trial. And he told me, he was like, because you have experience, this is going to be a test. We're not going to let any of the girls tell you what to do. You're going to have to figure it out. And I was like, oh my God. Which low key, like I know what he means, but they didn't even tell me where they get their, like where they polish their cutlery, like from. Like I had no idea how to do anything. There wasn't even a tour given to me. He fully chucked me in and was like, figure it out. And I obviously asked little questions like about like the computer, like how do I log in? How do I open a table? But then the rest is kind of self-explanatory, you know, you look for the right drinks buttons or whatever. And I apparently did really well that day because everyone was like, wow, you're so amazing. And I was like, yeah, period. But I apparently did so good that day. And I think it was just because I was the first person that they ever employed that had had experience. So they were used to training people who were brand new. And I mean, once you've worked in hospitality once, you kind of already got your script down packed. Like, I know what I'm going to say when I walk up to the table. I know how to deal with, like, questions that I don't know the answer to all those little things. And I know pretty much, like, pasta systems are all different, but you pretty much know, like, what you're looking for. And after that, he called me and he was like, yeah, we want to offer you the job. What day can you work? I remember I wanted both these jobs. I was like, oh, I'm going to absolutely lose this position, because I told him I only wanted to work Wednesdays and Sundays, which is horrendous for a restaurant. And for some reason, they were like, okay, because we really like you, we're going to say okay, and we're going to shuffle everyone around so you can have Wednesdays and Sundays. Oh, I felt so guilty. And I was like, damn, I hope no one else knows that it's me, that their shifts are getting changed. But I was so excited at the end of the day because I got the best out of both worlds. Anyways, I start working there. And like I said, it's very big. The menu's very complicated. You have to ask 50 jillion questions, you know, for all these different, like, main meals, because there's so many, like, additives or, like, options or substitutions or whatever. And this day is Father's Day. And I'm going to estimate that I've been there for about 2 months, which seems like a lot, but when you're only working Wednesday and Sundays, you really don't get that much practice in, right? And I could do, like, sections by myself on Wednesdays and Sundays, but I'd never worked a weekend, so I'd never experienced, like, the real rush. Obviously, Father's Day has the real rush times 10, right? So I didn't have a section this day, thank God, because I don't think I would have been able to do it, but I was a runner. So I just take the food from the kitchen and I bring it to the table. Easy enough, right? And it was easy enough for the first, like, 5 hours, because I started at 12, so we started lunch, and I, you know, brought the food everywhere. I was with the manager, and this manager had actually quit, and he had come back to help out for this shift, right? So he was very, like, laid back, because he didn't even technically work there anymore. So he would give me the food, he would tell me where to go, and I'd bring it to the table, right? Easy peasy. We then enter nighttime. Keep in mind, I've now been working for, like, 6 hours, and we only get 20-minute breaks. So I've worked 6 hours with a 20-minute break, and I've got a big night ahead of me. It's probably about 5 p.m. So we start Father's Day. And honestly, I felt like we had a grasp on it for a couple hours, and then it all slipped away at once. We've broken up the tables, so we have, like, double the tables we normally do. And if it's not me running the food, because I had kind of gotten the hang of it from the past 6 hours, when somebody else tried to run the food, there seemed to always be, like, a little mistake. They give it to the people next to them or the people behind them or whatever. So sometimes it would come back because people would be like, no, that's not mine. Sometimes the tables would have ordered the same thing and you accidentally give the food to the wrong table, and you kind of don't realize until 10 minutes later when, like, something's not adding up and you've got two tables that are, like, unfinished with their mains because they've gone somewhere else. And as this happened, it meant we ran out of stuff, like, quite a bit quicker, because then we were giving people freebies, and then we were remaking dishes because we had no idea where they were, and then our populars ran out really quick. So we ended up running out of chicken, steak, fish. I know you might be asking yourself, what is there left on the menu? Very little. Obviously, these were specific meals that were gone, but, like, all we had was, like, prawns and venison, and it was, like, very small select menu, and this made people so angry, right? All the new people coming in weren't properly being told until they sat down when they tried to order, like, no, you can't have that, you can't have that. Sorry, we only have, like, prawn and deer left and bread. Anyways, the people who had been waiting hours for their food were also not able to get the stuff that they ordered because we were running out, right? And somebody has to tell them. You know, someone's got to break the news when you've waited an hour for your steak and you're actually not getting it. But you know what's worse? Is when your whole table has got 4 different meals and you've been waiting an hour for your food and none of you can get a meal. Oh my God. I had never been more embarrassed in my life. Because remember how that manager left and he came back, so we didn't really care. He was making me go to the tables and explain the situation. So I'm not even kidding. For 3 straight hours, once we hit like 7, 8 p.m. and people had been waiting, all I did was go around and break the news. He would give me a docket. I would see that there's stuff there that we'd sold out of. He would say, break the news. And I'd have to go. And I'd have to be like, I'm so sorry, guys. I know you've been waiting. Like, I'm so embarrassed. But none of you can have the meals you've been waiting for because we've run out. Who wants prawns? Who wants deer? That's the only option. I got to start saying venison, actually, because deer puts me off. But it was so bad. obviously every single time I went to a table, after waiting that long, you know, you kind of run out of patience. Every single time I went to that table, they'd be like, can I please speak to a manager or an owner? There was only two. There was one owner, one manager in the whole restaurant. So he got busy really quickly. So a lot of the time I'd be like, I can try find him for you, but it might be 10, 20 minutes before he gets to you, which made people even angrier. Maybe it wasn't the right thing to say, but I didn't want to lie. And people have been waiting that long already. You know, like 10, 20 minutes when you've been waiting an hour for your food won't go under the rug. They're going to notice that he's not coming. The night ended with a team talk because it was just so much chaos. Because keep in mind, I was a food runner. So from window to table, that's all I was doing. Imagine how bad it was for the actual servers. Because it just gets more... If that simple step is chaos, you know, restaurants, they all work together. If I'm in chaos, the next person's in chaos, the next person's in chaos, it's like a production line. So we had a team talk. We did get a couple bad reviews and a couple good reviews. And we all went home incredibly late, incredibly tired. Five people crying. Chefs, they're not talking to anyone anymore. They've had it. And we went to McDonald's after the servers because we do tend to do that when we have a hard day. And that was like my first holiday experience at this place. And I thought, you know what? The way that he responded at the end about like, okay, guys, what can we do better? That gave me faith that this could be a one-time thing. You know, like this was a bad holiday. We weren't prepared. Maybe I knew that like he actually was a new owner. He'd owned it for like a couple months by then, but that might have been his first Father's Day. You know, I thought, I'll give him grace, but I'm never doing that again. I'm never doing that again. Fast forward. It's now Valentine's Day. And I'd been there for about a year now. Like, I am now a veteran, but I have somehow missed every holiday since Father's Day. I know. Every major holiday, I've, like, haven't been able to work or I haven't been rostered. So it's Valentine's Day, and I know it's going to be bad. But I have worked in an Italian restaurant in town. So I don't think anything, there's something about romance in Italian that people just love to come and get pasta on Valentine's Day. So I didn't think it could get worse. You know, who thinks to go to the family pub on Valentine's Day? Spoiler alert, everyone ever. Everyone ever. And what's worse about Valentine's Day is that it's all tables of two. You know, so you could have a section that normally has about 10 tables, but now on Valentine's Day, you've got 20 because we're cutting them all in half. And this time I did have a section because I had now graduated from the runner phase. And I thought it was going to be okay, stupidly, of course. I knew it was going to be busy, but I didn't think it was going to be so bad because we had extra sections. So normally we split the restaurant up into three. This time we'd split up into four, and I was an easy one, right? Oh my God. Oh my goodness. I was wrong. The thing about holidays is that everyone knows it's bad. Everyone goes to the same school, the servers. So we talk about it, like, are you prepped for Friday? And someone's like, yep, I'm buying my four-pack of Red Bull because that's generally what it takes to get through. And you go to the back and there's just, like, so many energy drinks, so much food. Like, everyone's going through it together. And everyone thought it was going to be okay and we were all wrong. So Valentine's Day comes around and, again, like before, we're going okay at the start. We have a grasp on things. It's a school day, so none of us had to work lunch, thank God. And we've all turned up at like 3:45, 4 p.m. to start our shift. Again, we will not be getting a break this whole time. And we have a grasp on things for the first little while. And I actually was really enjoying it because you can walk up to like the customers and you automatically have something in common. I'm like, happy Valentine's Day, guys. And it was really cute. And here was my line to get them laughing. I was like, happy Valentine's Day, guys. How long have you been together? And whoever would answer, they'll be like, oh, like 6 months, 10 years, 24 years, whatever. And I would look to the other person. I'd be like, how did you stay with them so long? They're annoying me already. Right? So I was doing this little thing and everyone thought I was so funny. I was hashtag thriving. And my first, like, roadblock of the day was when I went up to the table. I was like, happy Valentine's Day, guys. How long have you been together? And this girl was like, ew, no, we're siblings. Why would you say that? And she was, like, physically mad at me. And I guess, like, not everyone knows it's Valentine's Day. But you know what? I've served about 30 people at this point, and They've all been celebrating Valentine's Day. I'm so sorry, mate, but I could not tell that was your brother. Anyways, that was a bit awkward, and I tried to make a joke out of it, and they didn't laugh. But it did mean that the table next to me, because they obviously overheard the whole thing because they're so close together on Valentine's Day, I went and I was like, yo, are you guys together? And they're like, yeah. And I was like, okay, happy Valentine's Day. I'm really glad you aren't siblings. Oh, anyways, that was my first roadblock of the day. I had to stop telling people happy Valentine's Day because I was so scared that I was going to get another awkward situation. And then not soon after that, we lost control of the whole situation. And oh my God, it was chaos because the lady who was on the pass, this is like one of the most important roles on a busy day. So you have someone who like receives the food and tells the runner what table it's going to be on. That's like what I was doing last time. The lady this time, she came in again just to help us, but she like lost control. It's a really hard job, so I do not blame her because everyone orders the same stuff. So she lost control and we had no idea what ducats were done, what ones had to be done. Neither did the chefs because they're reading it, they're making it, they're chucking it out. And then they don't really look at it again. They don't really look at the table number, right? And so we would go past like the window and would see like five plates and we'll go there and be like, where is it going? And she'd be like, honestly, I've got no idea. If your table has any of these meals, just take it. Which was the worst strategy ever to use because there's so many people in this restaurant right now. So people were getting one main and then another main 2 hours later and it was chaos. And I was getting so overwhelmed. It's prime summer. I went surfing that day and I burnt myself all over. And I actually thought I was getting like heat stroke. Like I had to go outside and I was like, and I was like, oh my God. And I sat down and I remember, it's like a really weird feeling. I remember like not being able to hear as well and then not being able to see. It was like someone had put like earmuffs on me or like headphones and then I couldn't see. But I could still feel my chest like, you know, like breathing up and down. Like I could feel that really prominently, but that was it. Like I feel like that's all I could focus on. And we have a local like homeless lady who is a little bit crazy and is known for shouting. And she was in the region at the time where this is happening. And I remember I guess I fainted. I still don't really get it. I think I must have fainted because I was dehydrated from the sunburn, from running around, from the stress of work. And I like fainted a little bit. But I still remember like my body moving. Anyways, and I remember thinking like, no, like you've got to come back because the crazy lady's around the corner and she's going to find me and like start shouting at me. So I remember thinking like, you got to come back about the crazy lady. And I was like, and I was like back and I opened my eyes and I was like, oh my God, I'm outside. And I'm like sitting on the ground and I'm like pretty much laying at this point. But I, like, wasn't breathing very heavily anymore. And I was like, what the heck? But I was, like, so tired, like, all of a sudden. And I could just feel like I just felt really hot still because I was still sunburned. And I go back in and everyone's like, Katie, where have you been? And, like, everyone's, like, stressing out again. I'm just, like, straight back in. And I was like, okay. I went to the bar, pour myself a Pepsi Max, squeeze of lime, and raspberry syrup because I need the absolute strongest flavor bomb you can imagine to get through the rest of the shift. Chug, go back there, and I absolutely lock in. I look at these dockets. I'm matching up all these meals. I'm hashtag saving the day. And at the end, obviously, we all pack up together and we all plan to go to McDonald's together. And we're talking to our owner at the end of the night. And I was like, I'm not going to lie. I thought after Father's Day, like, this was never going to happen again. And he was like, yeah, like, but this and this and this. And he was like, and where did you go? And I was like, I'm not going to lie. I think I fainted outside. And he was like, oh, okay. And I thought he would be like, maybe concerned, maybe surprised, maybe thank me for like keeping hashtag trooper. But no, he was like, oh, okay. And then we all went to McDonald's after. And I got, like, an ice cream cone and, like, a frozen Coke. And I was, like, putting it on my face because I was so hot. Everyone was, like, because obviously I told, like, my coworkers, like, my friends. And everyone was, like, are you okay? And I was, like, yeah, like, I'm coming down from the thrill. And it was only until after I ate my frozen Coke and, like, drank my ice cream cone that I felt normal again. Like, I was actually feeling, like, insane for, like, the last 3 hours. And I'm not going to lie, to be fully honest with you, after that, I didn't work a holiday ever again. I said, sorry, guys, I can't work Fridays and Saturdays anymore because I actually was getting too busy, but oh my God, the stress was insane. I really took it in. You would think that was like my life mission was to serve that place the way I was acting. And yeah, that's really all I have That's really all I have for you. So it wasn't like the worst story, but it actually could be my most life-threatening one, because who knows what would have happened if that crazy lady found me out there. And that's why I don't do Fridays or Saturdays in hospitality anymore, because sometimes it's too much. You know, sometimes you're not equipped for the Friday-Saturday life. I'm a Tuesday-Wednesday girl, and I'm happy that way. And you never know when I'll be back, when I'll feel strong enough to be back full-time on Fridays and Saturdays. But anyway, guys, nice to hear from you. If you take anything from the story, it's that avoid Fridays and Saturdays as long as possible if you work in hospitality. And if you're a customer, don't go out on Fridays and Saturdays, okay? Just go out on a different day. Just go out on a weekday. It's not that deep, please. Anyways, thank you lots, and I'll catch you next time.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.